Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you guys here this morning. I appreciate so much our technology team. Don't they do a great job? The videos and just expressing the message, they just do so well. Really appreciate that. I've been looking forward to doing this series with you as God's just been forming it in my mind and putting it in front of me. We're going to be looking at the book of James, if you want to turn there. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And I'm going to read that in just a moment. Let me make an announcement that I held over because I wanted to wait till everybody got here that was going to be getting here this morning for worship. And I want to let you know that we're excited to say to you that the elders are pleased to present to you our pastoral candidate for a position here, and that's Justin Easley. Justin is one of our own, raised here in this area. His responsibilities will be to supervise several ministries within our church. He's been through a number of extensive interviews with all the staff and with us in primary leadership over the 2+ months that we've just come through. And we're really excited to present Justin to you. And I want to ask you to take time when the service is over, go by our Next Step area out here in the mall and pick up his resume. There's also an organizational chart that'll kind of show you where he's going to fit in to what he's going to be doing. He's going to be preaching here 2 weeks from today on the 16th of January. And he'll be preaching in all three services, give you an opportunity to hear him and just experience his heart and his spirit. And then the church will be voting on him for this role that evening, January the 16th at 5 o'clock. So please make plans to attend and be sure and go by and get a copy of his resume as well as his responsibilities out there in the mall area. All right, we're in the series and we're talking about doing the Word. Doing the Word. And there's where I want to begin is in the book of James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25. And here's what I want you to understand. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. Because I think this series has real potential for absolutely changing the trajectory of our lives. And I try not to use a whole lot of superlatives when I talk, you know, and just be overly flamboyant. But I really believe that there is potential in this for tremendous life change. For men and women who know the Lord as their Savior, but they struggle. And a lot of times they wonder, am I really born again? And if I'm born again, why do I keep doing the things that I do? And so I want to get into that. And James talks about this in James chapter 1. And if you notice, the title of the message is, I Become What I Think. So every thought matters. Let's say that together. Would you look at your life on outline if you need to? I become what I think. So every thought matters. All right? James 1:22. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. He forgets what he saw in the mirror. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the word of God, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what I'm going to do, let's just kind of begin to break that down. I want you to notice, if you've got your life point outline, number one, that I want to share with you this morning, character, who I am and who you are, is determined by your conduct. Who I am, who you are, is determined not by what you say, it's determined by your conduct. And that's no surprise to us this morning. I think we get that. The biblical test of real faith is what? It's how you live. It's not what you say, it's how you do, right? God's going to ask you a question. What is the real the real clincher when you tell your wife, babe, I love you. You're the best thing since sliced bread. I care about you. My heart's just all warm about you. I care about you. Does she just want to hear words, or what does she really want?
Action.
Action, right? She wants action. She wants you to back it up with what you say. You see, it's not how I think I should live. It's not how my spouse or my friends think I should live. But what this series is all about, and this is what I want you to think about, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? And that we do the Word. The whole thing on the screen was a guy, he's walking across the sand, and there's a face mask in the sand. And that means he's taken off what he's been pretending to be, and he's becoming the real thing. He's going to live out the Word. How you and I live is an infallible test of our relationship with God, or the lack of it. Now, that's just a truth. Proverbs 4:23, out of the heart or the mind are the issues of life. And what God is simply saying is you and I behave as we do. How? Because of what we're thinking. I behave the way that I do because of what's going on between my ears. Jesus affirmed this truth in Matthew 12:33. As a man thinks in his heart, in his mind. I don't think in my heart, I think in my mind, right? As a man thinks in his heart, his mind, so is he. And so what God is saying is the acid test is conduct of genuine faith. And I want you to stay with me because I just want to build my case. And then I'm going to talk about what our struggles are about, all right? So I just want us to look at the reality. And so the conduct is the acid test of genuine faith. Who are the friends of Christ? If I say that I am a friend of Jesus, if I say that I love Jesus, how do I prove that? Jesus said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you what? Do whatever I command you. Who is it that really loves the Lord Jesus? John 14:23, Jesus said, he that loves me keeps my commandments. And so what I'm simply wanting us to do is I'm wanting to understand how we prove that we really love Jesus. It's the same way that you really prove you love your wife, that you really prove you love your husband. It's by what you do. It's by how you act. It's by how you behave. How does someone know that they have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? I get asked that all the time. How do I know that I know that I'm saved? 1 John 2 and 3. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Right? If we keep his commandments. How does Catherine know that I love her? She gauges my love for her based on how I treat her. That's what she does. It doesn't matter what I say. It's how do I behave toward her. So the acid test is always conduct. It's always behavior. It's how you live as a way of life that proves that you really belong and you love the Lord Jesus. It's not about just what's coming out of your mouth. The line of demarcation between the saint and the sinner is very clear. 1 John 3 and 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Okay, so here's the dividing line. He that does not righteousness is not of God. Now listen, I know what I'm doing. I'm kind of beating you down, but I want you to stay with me. You're saying, Pastor, I'm getting lower and lower the more you keep talking. That's a good thing because now I'm going to lift you up in a little bit, but you got to hang with me, all right? So just listen. He that does not righteousness is not of God. The proof that I'm genuinely born again is not what I claim. The proof that I'm genuinely born again is how I live my life. And it isn't just that I'm some kind of version of good. It is that I am doing what the Word says for me to do. That's how I keep evaluating my life. Look at the insight in your outline. The proper response of a true believer is obedience to the Word of God. And in our text passage, look back at James 1:22. But be you doers of the Word and not hearers only. You see, God says there's two type of attenders that come to worship. This is what God said. God said, every time I look down in a worship service, he said, I see two types of people. He said, first of all, I see hearers, but not doers. They come, they listen, but they don't do. They leave, but sin is not mitigated. There's no life change. They come, they hear, and they go right back to doing what they were doing before. He said, those are hearers, but they're not doers. And then there are hearers and doers. Look at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to listen. A true worshiper of God is somebody who listens. That's what I get so excited about seeing you guys on Sunday morning. Why? Some of you drive long distances. You get up. You push yourself on cold mornings like this. I wondered, is anybody going to be here this morning? You know, it's so cold outside. The wind's blowing. This is a good time to stay home and stay on the covers or stay inside, drink hot chocolate or whatever. But why are you here? You're here because you want to hear the what? The word. You want to hear the word. You see, that's the difference in people. There are people who are hearers only, and then those who are hearers and they are doers. He said, let every person be quick to listen. A true worshiper is one who listens to the word. They want to hear the word. I don't want to hear something out of a magazine. I want to hear the word. But it isn't enough to just listen. The end goal of listening is doing. What am I doing? James 1:22 says that a hearer who isn't a doer is deceived. Look at the insight in your outline. My greatest fear, this is me, my greatest fear for your souls, the souls of my people here, is that you who hear so much would do so little. We would do so little. Hearing the word of God is not an end in itself. That's not all we need to do. It is a means to an end. And what is the end of hearing the word? It is that we come and we hear, and then what's going to happen when we leave? What are we going to do in light of that? And if we just come and hear and nothing changes in our life, and we think ourselves to trust in God and to have saving faith, we are what? Deceived. Why? Because there's no change. And to explain how someone fails at life change, James gives this illustration. Look back at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. Okay, a hearer only. He says if somebody is a hearer only, it is someone who comes to worship and they leave. And what is their condition? No change. There's no change at all. There's no determination to change our behavior that is wrong. We come, we listen, but there's no conviction inside of us that there's something needs to be changed. And then James gives us this picture, and he tells us, he said, this is how you lose the impression of the Holy Spirit. Because see, what happens when we come in here on Sunday morning is the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it begins to bring to our mind things that God's wanting us to do. We have made changes. Every one of you, I know you've made some changes. What I want to ask you, this is what I keep asking myself. At this stage in my life, one of my greatest temptations is to start coasting. Are you with me? Amen. And you can't do that. You can't coast. God says, if you're the real deal, John, if you love me, I want you to become more and more day to day of what I put you here to be. Because what happens is you come in here and God makes an impression on you. And if you don't do something about it, you will lose the impression of the Holy Spirit. You see, the danger is God's going to work in here. But if something doesn't happen and change you, when you go out those doors, those impressions start to leave. That's what he's saying. So look at verse 23. A hearer and not a doer is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself, and meaning that God reveals areas that need to be changed, and it's from the Lord. And he looks at himself, and he or she goes away and at once forgets what they saw or what they were like. So what's God saying? He's saying there's this person who hears and he doesn't do. It's like a person who looks in a mirror and he sees the face of his birth. It's like you're looking in a mirror. Maybe, how many of you looked in a mirror this morning before you left? Please keep that up. Keep doing that. See? But here's the deal. He's saying, here's somebody, they look at their natural face in the mirror, and they see things that needs to be attended to. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, as you go along and you get older, when you have a thought, you need to do something about that thought, because something happens to that thought and it like disappears. Right? And so you need to, and that's exactly what he's talking about here. He said, when you're in worship and the word is being preached, the word is like a mirror. And he said, when the word is being preached, God shows you you. And God, the Holy Spirit, works in you. And he shows you something. And he says, the danger is that you will leave worship and not act on it. And he said, what happens is when you get out in the world, you're going to forget what God showed you. It's like you are about to leave and you look in the mirror at home and your hair is all scruffy. Or you've got a piece of food in your teeth, you know, when you grin or whatever, there's food in your teeth. You go, oh, I got to do something about it. And then the phone rings. And so you run and go do that. And lo and behold, you've forgotten what you saw in the mirror and you go out into the world and then there you go. You saw what needed to be changed, but you didn't do anything, right? All right, that's what he's talking about. When I show you something in the mirror of the Word of God, God says, if you don't act on it while you are with me, if you don't say, God, this is what I want to do, he said, the busyness of life and the distractions are going to steal what I told you in your heart, and you're going to forget all about what I told you. And you're not going to make a change. So here's the insight. If you don't fix what the word shows you is wrong in your life, when you see it, you may never fix it. Many of you have been convicted, I would imagine. You've been convicted of a need to go the next step in your walk with Christ. I just know that because I know that's what the Holy Spirit is doing here. Maybe you've been convicted of thinking, you know, I need to join a life group. Some of you, you've heard the Holy Spirit saying a wild and crazy thing. You need to lead a life group. That God wants you to step out. You know enough, and now you need to lead a life group. Some of you, God said, I want you to go on a mission trip. Or God has said, I want you to start a disciple group. I want you to do that. Or he said, I want you to begin tithing. Or maybe he said, I want you to increase your giving. You're already tithing, but I want you to grow beyond that. I want you to keep growing because that's the mark of a growing Christian. We keep realizing we've only got so much time here on this earth and souls are dying. And so we want to keep growing in how we trust the Lord and we follow him. And so what God is saying is an unfixed life ought to be a bother to you and me as a believer. The hearer only is a man or woman who comes to the mirror of God's word. It shows them their sin. It shows them their ugliness. But it also shows them where they need to grow and change and move forward. And it demands that they do something about it right now. But he says, if you fail to act and you leave worship and you go back into the world and you go back to business and you go back to life at home, he says, you will get distracted and you'll forget everything that I've said. You'll forget. And so the mark that I am saved, the mark that I'm born again, is what? It's a changed life. It's a changed life. And I'm assuming this morning, this is what I've been thinking about all week, I am assuming this morning a desire on your part for a changed life. But I'm also assuming the reality of a struggle. And so I want to talk about that. So look at number two in your outline. Thoughts, not good intentions, determine behavior. Thoughts, not good intention, determine behavior. But listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew 12, 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, in other words, the thoughts of my mind and your mind, the mouth speaks. Now, what God is saying is, my conduct and your conduct, listen, is determined by what goes on between our two ears. How I behave in this world, how you behave in this world is determined by what we think. Are you with me? You hearing? Okay. The man or the woman you and I are day to day is determined by the thoughts that dominate our minds. That's what determines who we are. And this truth is driven home by so many biblical passages. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. All the time, professing Christians are filled with angst and worry. And a lot of people, maybe some of you, are concerned from time to time, am I really born again? Because of I meant to go, but it's like two steps forward and three steps back. Some of you maybe that are listening online, you don't understand. If you are saved, why then do you keep doing what you shouldn't be doing? How do you talk to somebody about that? As a child of God, why do you keep doing what you shouldn't be doing? Maybe you're caught in a cycle of repeatedly asking God to save you. I talked to so many believers who said, I don't know how many times I've asked God to save me. But then they do that and they go right back to what they know is wrong. And then they pray the sinner's prayer again and again. And they wonder, what in the world is going on with me? And people wonder, how can I be saved in light of the things that come out of my mouth? People, Christians say, how can I be saved and wind up the places that I wind up going to when I said I won't go there anymore? And yet I wind up going there. How is it that I am saved and born again and the things I do that I said I was going to stop doing? Why do I not change? Why am I not becoming more and more like what God wants me to be? Look at the insight in your outline. You need to think about what you think about. You need to bring your thoughts under control. That brings me to number three this morning. That's what I want you to think about. We must manage our minds. God says, I want you to manage your mind. This is the warfare of a child of God. That if we don't respond to the word immediately, we're not going to change. It's going to be taken from us. And many of us wonder, why am I not the changed person that I want to be? Am I really born again? And at the heart of it is what's going through our mind. Number one, we must manage our minds. Your thoughts control your life, but you can control your thoughts. Your thoughts control your life, but you control your thoughts. The life you're presently living is a product of your thoughts. What's going on between your ears? Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Many of us are all about controlling what we eat and what we drink. That's great. But we don't always control what we allow into our minds. And the truth in your outline, every action in your life starts with a thought. It starts with a thought. And so what you're thinking right now is going to determine how you're going to respond to today's message. What's going through your mind? How you act, how you behave is because of the thoughts that dominate your life. You just look, how have you lived this past year? Maybe you've been grieved that, you know, I haven't been what I believe God wants me to be. I haven't been on it through this year. Well, let me tell you why that's happened. It is because of what's happening between your ears. You've behaved the way you have because of the thoughts that dominate your mind. And the next insight, child of God, always remember the thoughts of your mind control and shape your life. So what that means is God is saying you need to start thinking about what you think about. You need to think about your thoughts. You need to think about your thoughts. This affects how you live a life as a Christian. This affects how your home life is. This affects how you walk with other believers. This affects everything, what goes on between your ears. Many of the present problems of my life and your life come because we are allowing thoughts in our mind instead of choosing them. We're not choosing our thoughts. We're allowing those thoughts to come in. And we're not being discriminatory about what we think about. And that's why we have the problems in our homes. That's why we have the problems in our jobs. That's why we have our problems in our relationships. It's because Satan is getting to us because we are not controlling our thoughts. And the next insight, many of us need to choose our thoughts better. Because if you don't choose your thoughts, you're going to have a lot of thoughts that are bad, wrong, hurtful, and self-defeating. Why? Because we're broken. And the truth in your outline, as a Christian, you can't afford to be passive about your thoughts. You can't. You control your thoughts, control your life. And so what God is saying is you and I need to take stronger control of how we think. What goes on between our ears? You know, you hear on TV a lot about air pollution and water pollution. But as a child of God, we need to be mindful of mind pollution. That there's stuff happening between our ears that God says, I'm not in that. Here's another reason you need to learn to manage your mind. Number two, your mind is a battleground for sin. Your mind, that is the battleground for sin. The battleground for sin is not something physical. It's your battleground for sin is not some place that you go. It's about why you go there. It's about why you do what you do. That's where your battle is. And it's about what's going on between our ears. Let me put it another way. Every temptation you will ever have, you will lose or win in your mind. You're like, oh God, help me, deliver me from this. God says, what are you thinking? What's going on between your ears? Every sin you and I have ever committed began in our mind. Everyone. The sin of pride starts where? In your mind. The sin of lust starts where? In the mind. The sin of hate starts in the mind. Fear, resentment, all those are mind issues. Jealousy, that is a mind issue. Envy, they all are birthed and they either lead us into sin or they die between our ears. Because we make the decision, I'm going to think the thoughts of God. I'm going to think thoughts that honor Him. Romans chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Paul talks about this battle in our minds. Listen to what he says. He said, I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But there's something else deep within me. Listen, that is at war with my mind. And it wins the fight. And it makes me a slave to the sin within me. Where is your sin battle? Where is it that you stumble, that you lose so much of the time? What is the issue? It's right here. It's right here. Insight in your outline. Every Christian is at war with Satan. It is a real fight, and the goal is enslavement to sin, and the battlefield is the Christian mind. Satan knows that whatever gets your attention gets you. And so that's where he starts. He starts with our mind. He doesn't start with my behavior. He doesn't start with my emotions. Satan begins his battle in my mind. Number three, any change you want in your life has to start in the mind. Any change you want, good or bad, starts in the mind. The truth in your outline, change starts in your brain, not in your behavior. It starts inside your head, not outside. So many times you and I have tried to change our life by changing our behavior. You've got to understand what you want in your mind. This is what I want, because this is where real change begins. Life change begins in how we think. The next truth, any change you want to make in your life starts in your thoughts, not your feelings, and not in your behavior. You don't feel your way into a change. You think your way into a change. Your feelings are controlled by your thoughts. And so if you want to change your feelings, you change your thinking. And your feelings will follow. And number four, any change in how you feel begins in your mind. It starts in your mind. The way you think determines how you feel. In other words, I think my way into a feeling. Catherine and I do marriage counseling from time to time, you know, and invariably, and it is a real painful thing whenever I hear a husband or a wife say, I don't love them. I don't love them anymore. And sometimes I want to just kind of shock them and say, so what? God didn't say that you always have to feel love. But God did say you always have to behave love. And how do I change my behavior? I change my behavior by how I think. And so God is simply saying, you will change how you feel when you change how you are thinking. When you try to change your feelings, it doesn't work. And the insight in your outline, our feelings are resistant to commands. I can't command myself to feel something. I can't do that. We can't change our feelings, but we can change our thoughts. And what we think determines how we feel. I can get angry and frustrated and discouraged sometimes by listening to certain people on TV. You with me? You're just like, ugh, you know. And I can feel grieved watching certain types of entertainment. But if I'm watching a television program or whatever that grieves me or depresses me, I can keep sitting there. And I can keep thinking to myself, you know, while I'm watching it, that I'm struggling. I'm not going to feel depressed. I'm not going to feel angry. I'm not going to be resentful. I'm going to stop doing that. Is that what I do? No. I pick up the remote and I go, click. I change the channel, right? You change the channel to change how you think. Pastoral counseling manuals give this directive. You might write this down. Whatever you resist persists. Simply refocus. Whatever you resist, persist, simply refocus. Let me give you an example of that biblically, all right? Psalm 42, verse 6. David said, now just listen, my soul is cast down within me. Another version says, my heart is breaking. And then David says, my soul is cast down within me. Then I turned my thoughts to God. A cast down soul, a depressed soul, an angry soul, that is a strong emotion. What's the answer? How do you overcome that? David said, so I turned my thoughts to God. That's a choice. My heart is breaking. I'm so grieved over this. I'm so angry. I'm so resentful. So what do? I turn my thoughts to God. It's a choice. Listen to Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. When I had lost all hope, I turn my thoughts once more to the Lord. Maybe you feel like that life is overwhelming right now, what you're going through. Just like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. All right, how do you change your feelings? How do you change? How do you keep putting one step in front of another? You change how you think. And you turn your thoughts toward the Lord. What does God say? Some of you need to write that verse down, Jonah 2, 7. When I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. And you put that on a note card, carry it around you. When I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts to the Lord. Catherine and I, through the years, have had the privilege, and I mean it as a privilege, to be able to do marriage counseling. And I always encourage couples, I say, listen, I just want you to know, I know you attend here or whatever, and I want you to know you will never hear your story in a sermon. And that kind of puts, you know, people at ease. You know, I don't want to become a sermon topic on Sunday morning. But we've had considerable counseling through the years. And a constant couple issue is this. Listen to it. Disagreements that become emotional quicksand that smothers love. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Disagreements between the two of them that become so emotional that it smothers love. Couples can grow emotionally cold toward each other, often over a single issue that they can't resolve. It's not that it's a really big deal, but they just can't resolve it. So they stop talking to each other, and they emotionally withdraw from each other. And unless they change their thoughts to a biblical position, their marriage, listen, can become emotionally dead, or that can ultimately lead to a divorce. And there are a lot of people who are living together today and they're emotionally dead with each other. So here's what happened. How did that happen? They got stuck emotionally. Why? Because they tried to resist their feelings. They tried to resist their feelings. What did we learn? God has told us what you resist does what? It persists. It just keeps on going. They lost the ability to reconnect. I see it all the time. They lose the ability to reconnect emotionally. Why? Because they fail to turn their thoughts to God, meaning they fail to respond to each other biblically. as God says in the Word. Ephesians 5:21, husbands and wives are to submit to the needs of each other. Why is that so important? Why do I need to submit to my wife's needs? Why does she need to submit to my needs? Because, listen, I will never change how I feel toward Catherine or you toward your spouse till you change how you think about your spouse. You'll never change how you feel till you change how you think about them. You do not feel your way into an action. You act your way, you think your way into a feeling. You tell your feelings what to do. You don't let them control you. How does that play out for a husband and wife? Well, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Do you know what the greatest need of a man is? This is what God said. God said the greatest need of a man is that his wife respect him. That the wife honor and respect his leadership. Girls, this is worth the price of admission this morning. God is simply saying, I have created men. I have created men to be leaders. And he says, I hold men accountable. I hold men responsible for either leading or not leading their home. And the primary responsibility of a woman, of a wife, is to honor and respect his leadership. And if a woman wants to change how she feels toward her husband, she has to change her thoughts toward him by showing him acts of respect, or you'll never feel your way into an action. You act your way into a feeling. What does that mean? You honor his leadership. You tell him. That doesn't mean you don't tell him how you think. Look, I think you're making a mistake here. Catherine and I, probably one of the biggest deals in our life that affected our marriage was when we bought the home that we're in right now. I believed in all my heart that God had spoken. We'd been praying that the Lord would lead us and give us a home that would take care of us until he called us home. And my heart just got set on a particular house, the house that we're living in. And Catherine's thing was, we can't afford that. And she was totally against it. And so we were at a stalemate. And so I quit for a while. I just backed off. And then through a series of events that I won't go into, I just really felt like that this was something that God was raising up again, that God was saying, this is what I provided for you. This is an answer to your prayer. And I want you to trust me. And I looked at her and I said, babe, I said, listen, this is what I believe is God's will for us. And Catherine looked at me. And she told me what she thought. She said, I don't agree with this. I don't think it's a good move. And then she said, but if that's what you want to do, I'll follow you. That's been my wife. So what does that mean? That means she went to bed at night and slept like a rock. I was the one looking at the ceiling. Oh, God, am I making the right decision? This woman you gave me, who has a walk with Jesus, disagrees with me. Oh, God, am I correct? Am I hearing you right? Right? And she's over there. She just said, you got it. Do it. And if it doesn't work, it's on you. Do you know what? That's exactly what God wanted. And God simply says, if you honor the man for how I said I want him, you to honor him, even if he's wrong, if you obey me, I'll work everything out for your good. Amen. Is that not worth it? God said, I'll take care of it. You just do it my way. But you let him do what I created him to do. You let him be the leader. And then he says, husbands, love your wives. Guys, listen, the greatest need of our women in our life is that we cherish her and we value her. And I tell them, listen, if you love her, if you value her, what have you done lately to show her that she's important to you? Rather than just saying, I don't know why you don't go along with me. When is the last time you showed her from your heart that you like put her on a pedestal? that she's important to you. She is everything you want. When did you last say from your heart, babe, I love you? And then you back it up with action. You do something that says, I love you. What do you do to put her on a pedestal as a prize from God to you? Because they're gifts, men. Wouldn't you say that? Amen. That would have been a whole lot better if it was a lot louder. You say, yes, yes, they are God's gift to you and me. And so if a husband wants to change how he feels toward his wife, he has to change his behavior toward her by thinking thoughts of love, cherishing her, meeting her felt needs, and saying, I love you. That's how we bring about change in our life. Now, I want you to understand, Satan is out to get us. The Bible says he is like a snake. And he'll bite, and he's poisonous, and he seeks to kill. And many of us, maybe today, are wondering, why have I not changed in so long? What's keeping me from being a better husband, a better wife, a better believer? It's all about what's going on between our ears. Where's that? Is that battle being won between your ears? Because God says the battle is with your thoughts. And how you think determines how you behave. And that's really the seed that I want to plant. And that's what I'm going to be chasing as we come back together week after week. Is how are we thinking in our heads? Let's stand together. Would you please? Father, we thank you so much for the word this morning. God, I thank you for challenging us. That this morning, Lord, you've shown us. There's been in our minds, there's been the work of the Holy Spirit. There are changes that need to be made. But the truth of Scripture is that you've challenged us through James to say we should not be hearers only, but doers of the word. And the biggest struggle in our life for being doers is what goes on between our ears. And many of us fail to change because we lose the battle of our thoughts. And we don't choose to have the mind of Christ, to think like the Lord thinks. And we can change our behavior by changing how we think. What does the word say? What has God said about this? And we declare it and we stand on it and we cry out to you and we want to be what you want us to be. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as we get ready to leave and go back out into the world, Lord, that on each of our hearts will be that desire to be the men and the women that you want us to be. And that we will think, Lord, am I showing that I'm becoming a better man and a better woman? Am I still changing? Some need to be in life groups. Some need to be leading a life group. Some need to be tithing. Some need to be giving above the tithe to show growth. And because we're more and more committed to the kingdom work and expansion than we were last year. There are changes that you're wanting to make in us. And the question is, are we controlling our thoughts? Because Satan's desire is to attack us in our minds, to pull us away from the Lord, to cause us to forget what the Word showed us today. And so, Father, this morning, we want to leave hanging on to the changes that need to be made. And may we make those changes right now. Confirm it in our minds. I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to write that check. I'm going to join that group. I'm going to do it. It is a done deal. And we don't forget what we saw in the mirror of the Word of God. And so thank you, Father. Lead us through this time, we pray in the Word. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed this morning.